Ultimately, our posture in response to the idea of loving our enemies is a matter of the heart. And today we're going to see another area where we need to see this matter of the heart. It's a need that we all have, a desire that we all have. It's a need and desire to be seen, recognized, and celebrated by others. It starts pretty innocently. You've probably seen it, witnessed it. It's some kid over here going, hey, mom, watch this. And if the mom doesn't turn, what's the kid do? Mom, I said watch! And then mom turns and does something like, oh, that's good, sweetheart. Or a boy over here, dad, watch. Right? It starts innocent enough. Or maybe it's, oh, hey, just pause right there. Take a picture. Or selfie, everyone get ready and post it. Because it's like, I want to capture this. I want to share this. I want to post it so that others can see. And I'm not saying there's anything necessarily wrong with those things, but what is that rhythm doing to our hearts? And what's it training our hearts to want and expect more and more? Now, some of you might be like, yeah, that's not me, Chris. I hate being seen. I love being left alone. Less people talk to me, the better. The less I'm seen, the happier I am, in fact. Okay, I know there's people that certainly go that way and lean in that kind of understanding, but I would still push back and say, don't you still appreciate a compliment from time to time, a word of appreciation, a positive acknowledgement of something? Yeah, probably. Right now, is this inherently wrong? No, not by any stretch of imagination. But I think we all can agree that we know people who crave attention, whose countenance will actually change if they don't seem to be in the spotlight enough. And maybe more personally, I imagine that like me, you can identify times when you did something because of the hoped-for reaction response of those around you, because that's what actually fueled your heart in the moment. So what do we do with this? Well, let's turn back to Matthew chapter 6 and see, what does the king have to say to us about this? And we're going to read verses 1 to 4 and 16 to 24, kind of skipping over the Lord's Prayer. Brandon covered that already. If you don't have a Bible, seats in front of you. If you don't own one, take it. All right, here's what it says. Matthew 6, 1 to 4, 16 to 24. And kind of listen, what do you hear being repeated? And maybe I'm going to invite you to say, what sticks out in this to you? All right, so here we go. Beware, and this is right after he says, by the way, love your enemies. And he says, you must be perfect because your heavenly Father is perfect. So it's right on the heels of that. His very next statement is beware. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you'll have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward, but when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they've received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who sees in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jump down to 16. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Oh yeah, I haven't been following on my own PowerPoint. All right, there we go. That's the word from the king. What sticks out to you about this? What'd you notice? What questions do you have? Thoughts? Yeah. Yeah, three times there's reward. That's interesting. What about that's interesting to you? Yeah. Good. Anybody else? Don't advertise what you're doing. Father sees in secret. And I think going back to that, don't advertise what you're doing. Don't go out of your way to hide. Like, don't go the other extreme either. Because in a backwards way, you're actually bringing light to it by not. Does that make sense? Like, don't do that. Because that's just weird, right? We know that that's not what you're supposed to do. He says elsewhere, Jesus, same guy, actually, let your good work shine before others so that they will praise your Heavenly Father. So what does that mean? How can you do that, but at the same time, he says, beware, don't let your right hand know what your right hand know what your left hand's doing. But then that same Jesus says, no, practice your righteousness. Let it be a light that shines. How do those complement each other? They seem like a contradiction, don't they? So it's a motive of the heart. Yeah. Faith and deeds. Yeah. Yeah. Byproduct of faith is deeds. In other words, so your deeds are evidence of faith. They're not securing salvation. But there's certainly evidence that you've received it. In the same way, your heart posture is, I'm doing this because I'm led to do this, not because I want the glory of those around me, but because I want the glory of the Father. Yeah. The interesting thing to me in all this, Jesus never scolds us for having a desire to be seen. He doesn't scold us for having a desire for a reward, right? He doesn't say like, well, shame on you. How dare you, Chris? Right? Notice he doesn't say that. It's such a gracious response to just lean in on a very human tendency. Think of it like this. For those of you who like analogies, the guy who likes analogies isn't even in here right now. Clark, you're going to have to tell your dad this analogy later. It's kind of like this. So it's a long day of school, long day of work, long day of something. You're tired and you're hungry. And so you come home. And dinner's not going to be ready for another hour. But you're hungry. And so you just scour the cupboards for all the quick, easy things that you can eat. So a bag of Skittles here, some Doritos there, and just all the junk that you can possibly find, you're just like, oh, just give me more and more and more and more and more. And then finally, you're just like so bloated that you just kind of like collapse wherever you're at. And then it's like, oh, dinner's ready. You're like, ah. Oh. Dinner, however, is a roast that's been sitting all day with potatoes and carrots and marinating, and it's just amazing way, and you come to the table and it's right there in front of you, this just delicious meal. And what do? You hold your fork and you pick at it a little, and mom's like, what, aren't you hungry? I go, well, I was, but I gorged myself on all this junk, so I'm not really hungry right now. Oh. And then what happens? Then dinner passes, you barely ate, maybe you nibbled a little, and you're like, wow, that really was good, but I seriously have no room for this in my stomach right now. This is not going to go well if I ate anymore. And 2 hours later, your stomach's rumbling because all you put in it was junk. And now it's like, hey, I'm hungry. And mom's like, or dad, maybe it was dad, hey, you missed it. That was dinner. It's away now. Go to bed. And while you're falling asleep, your stomach's growling at you. And you're like, oh, man. Right? And that's kind of what Jesus is saying here. He's saying there is an amazing reward awaiting any and all of us. But we pick the Skittles over the prime rib. We pick Doritos over whatever, fill in your blank. Mashed potatoes and gravy. Right? We're so content to receive from others and settle for that. But this false contentment doesn't fill us. It doesn't sustain us. It doesn't carry us. Friends, it's as if this kind of desire has been hardwired into us to lead us to the one who actually can fill it, who actually can satisfy that scratch that we're constantly, or that itch that we're constantly scratching with these other ways. And you don't have to look farther than social media to see how it's impacting the youngest generation. To be seen, to be responded to be given affirmation, to be... But it's like a drug. And we all do it in our different ways. The outfits we choose to wear, the makeup we choose to put on, the mask that we choose to carry that day that others will see. But that can only be fulfilled by the Lord Almighty. That's what Jesus is saying to these people in the audience. Our triune God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus is saying, in essence, no, I see the desire. In fact, I know the desire because I'm 100% human plus 100% God. But I'm 100% human. And so in that 100% humanity, I know that longing and that desire. That's why he's off and off with the Father early in the morning. Luke tells us it's what he does. It's a rhythm that he establishes. Going in his room in secret to pray to the Father. And he goes off by himself. Jesus is saying, if you want that to truly be filled, live and act for an audience of one. Right, that's it. Live and act for an audience of one. The Father. So friends, what audience are you living for? What audience are you living for? Are you living for the applaud of friends, the accolades of peers, and the adoration of others? If so, Jesus says you're going to get your reward. You'll get it. The world will give it. Others will give it. But better, Jesus says, is living for the Lord. Whom Paul also echoes in Colossians 3. He says, whatever you do, work it with all your heart, as if working for the Lord. And here's the thing. Many of us know these verses. Probably isn't a new idea for many of us. If you grew up in the church, you probably heard something like this before. And it makes you wonder, like, well, man, why do our hearts seem so unsatisfied by these? Why do I still not fully live for an audience of one? Like, we still crave, or obviously vulnerable, I still crave being seen by others. And so here's another, I think of like a, anyone else out there have ever been a part of a belly flop competition? Who's ever been a part of a belly flop competition? Why? Why would you be a part of a belly flop competition? As one who has been a part of many, why? Yeah, what a glory! Anybody else? Why were you a part of it? Free ice cream. There's a reward. All right. He got his reward. Anybody else? Why would you be part of a belly flop competition? Fun. It's insanity. You love the response of the crowd. Like, oh, and you just want to outdo the other person and be even more. Now, keep that in mind and consider. Do you think anyone ever woke up one day with a pool in their backyard all by themselves and said, I'm going to go have a belly flop competition by myself? Be kind of weird, right? Be like, what? Who does that? Like, but I bring that up because it just continues to show, well, if you wouldn't do it by yourself, why would you do it in front of 100 other people? Because you want the adoration and the praise. You want this inner thing that exists to be seen by others. It'd be kind of like if you ever golfed by yourself and no one else is out there. No one else sees any of it and you get a hole in one. it'd be like the most annoying hole-in-one of my life. Because one, nobody would believe me. They're like, Chris, we've golfed with you before. There's no way. Like, no, I want to be the guy who's riding the brand new Hummer because it was given to me because I wanted a thing. So everyone that says, hey, nice Hummer, I'd be like, yeah, I got it in a hole-in-one golf competition. Wow, you got a, right? See how that just, but I don't want to get a hole-in-one by myself. Right? And there's probably something in your life. You're like, I don't want to do that. But I want to be seen. Right? So, but here's the thing. Jesus says you are being seen. There's a reward waiting for you. But those of us who've grown up in the church, we actually know this, and we still find our hearts being compelled to want to be seen. So, why? What do you think is keeping us from actually living out these words? And yeah, this is feedback time again. I know I'm making you maybe uncomfortable, but. Okay, our human nature. Instant gratification. We don't like to wait. Influence of others. We're selfish. Sowing our own kingdoms. Insecurity. But it's interesting, right? So let's go on that selfish one. Let's say you're at work. Your boss says to you, hey, here's the deal. You can do this and I'll pay you $50,000. You can do this and I'll pay you $500,000. Which would you choose? All right. Depends on what this is. Fair enough. But come on. Boss says you're only going to work 40 hours regardless. It's just if you do it this way, 500, you do it this way, 50. Which one are we picking? 500. Why? Because we're selfishly motivated people. And Jesus is actually playing on this. Guys, there's a reward waiting for you from the Heavenly Father, who, by the way, spoke all of this into being, who, by the way, holds all of this by his power, who, by the way, is the God of 1,000 cattle on the hills. He's waiting to give you a reward. I actually wonder in my heart of hearts, and I'll just say for me, but just know that it also means you as well. Do I actually believe God sees me? Do I actually believe his reward is worth it? Do I believe whatever he has in store for me is enough? See, I think that's the hard issue at play here. And I can't convince you that being seen and rewarded by God is enough, but I can guarantee you something. God sees you. The Almighty God, who every star in the universe is empowered by his, essence, the God who is sovereign over all things, who orchestrates things, who can bend the hearts of kings over periods of time. Yeah, that God, that cosmic, powerful, almighty being actually takes time and sees you. And he sees you. And not in this, like, negative kind of way, like, oh, I saw you this week. No, that's I'm actually not sure where that came from. That's a wrong view of the Father. He's looking down and going, I see you. I see you working selflessly in that situation. I see you working through that hard situation. I see you in that moment where you think you're unappreciated. I see you. And I can say this with divinity. Divinity? I think that might be a new word. I like it. We're keeping it. Divinity. Add it to the list. It's not only repeated three times here, but it's a name for Yahweh himself, is the God who sees. It's who he is. It's one of his names. It's one of his essences. to see you when you think no one sees you, to know you deeply, and in that moment to love you and want what's best and good for you. That's the God who sees. So friends, absorb this, hear me. Let it sink into your heart. God sees you. He sees you. Now, if you want to know if that's enough, then find out this week yourself by living these words. Because I can't tell you and convince you it's enough, but he can and he will. So put these words into practice. Experience the reward the Father who sees in secret is waiting to give you. Let's pray. Lord, your goodness is overwhelming, and we thank you that you see us. So, God, I pray for that person this morning who feels unseen, who feels unnoticed, who feels unappreciated, that they would experience being seen by you in a powerful way, and experience that reward that you have for them, whether it's a reward of your presence, a reward of your goodness, or whatever that reward is, Lord, let them experience it intimately. Let us all do that this week. God, just continue to show your grace and mercy towards us in this amazing way. Thank you for this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.